going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, DSW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Visit DollarShaveClub.com and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more.
With the NFL draft one night away, rumors, innuendos, and reports abound about what the Browns are going to do with the number 2 pick. To talk about that, game 2 of Cavs Heat tonight in Cleveland, we welcome on Daryl Ryder, brought to you by Scheiben Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. Hi, Daryl.
It is an honor and a pleasure to be speaking to Fat McConaughey.
Ah, I'm so proud of you that you found out. Did Mac leak that one?
Good reporter doesn't reveal his sources.
That's true.
Daryl, the part that you didn't get.
It's you, Daryl.
Yeah. If you listened to the whole entire interview, and I don't know what you caught or what you were told, we also lined Nick up to be a speaker to the team in a game against Toledo. Now, but then I think he said something about showing your rocket,
yeah,
and that might have cost you the opportunity. Like, Eddie George was on it, and he was excited about it. And then
at one point he said, next topic.
And then he wanted to hit the eject button.
I was just excited.
That's why we went to the rocket.
Yeah.
And so for like 5 seconds, I think you might have had a speaking opportunity in front of the team.
Mm.
Yeah, I don't know what much of a difference that would have made, though. So I think that actually this might have ended
Daryl? You don't think a man who's paid professionally to speak,
think
that I could give a win one for the Gipper?
Tony Robbins is basically who I co-host with every single day. Are you kidding me?
Yeah, I don't know that Nick's a win one for the Gipper type of guy.
Could you have said a more out-of-pocket, hateful thing?
I mean, welcome to the show, Daryl.
I'll tell you right now, you're never getting a win one for the Gipper. I'll tell you right now, you'd be fighting the big C, you're on your deathbed, and my words alone could sustain your life. And I'll be like, nah, I'm not a win one for the Gipper kind of guy.
There I go. Okay, so I'll just go to Mac's house.
The only thing I'd ask for is just, you know what, go in peace. That's all I need from
you. That's what you want? You want to go in peace?
Yeah.
All right, you got it.
I'm going to give you a win one for the Gipper out of spite. We're going to string this along. And you're like, no, I just want to go. Just give me the good stuff.
I've had enough.
And I'm like, no, you're going to live another 20 years. And you're
going to continue. The end is near. Let me go.
No, you must win one. The Gipper. Now.
Live to fight another day.
No, that's an awful, because then you got to have that same conversation the next day.
I know.
You got to try and get one that covers a lot. I don't have to keep coming back each day and be like, live to fight another day. At some point, the message will not resonate.
This is true.
We've really taken this to an interesting spot.
Go in peace, Daryl.
good talk.
Inspiring. The latest rumors are that there are a lot of interest in people trading up to 2 to come get Travis Hunter. If Andrew Berry gets a Godfather offer to give up the number 2 pick, will you give him credit if he has the onions to pull that kind of trade off?
Depends what the Godfather offer looks like. If it's god awful, I won't be interested. I will probably really rip into Andrew Berry for making that trade. So, I honestly would just like them to take Travis Hunter and be done with it tomorrow night. Don't overthink this.
Yeah, Daryl, I feel like a lot of fans feel that way as well.
Yeah. You know what? You don't need to prove that you're the smartest guy in the room, okay? Just take Travis Hunter.
Well, there's a beautiful thing about Travis Sutter we were talking about last segment, in that if you don't believe that Andrew Berry can actually draft these wide receivers, because the third rounders that he kept drafting were not panning out in any sort of way.
I just don't believe Andrew Berry can draft, period. So that's why I want to take the layup here.
Well, and that's the beautiful thing about it, is that, like, if you believe that about Andrew Berry, then you should be pounding and saying, like, yes, Travis Hunter's the guy, because he is basically, he's draft-proof in many ways.
By the way, my condolences to you, JP.
No condolences needed.
The Shislide is on.
No.
And Shador will not be the pick.
Listen, you think
he may not be the he might go all the way down to 21.
Daryl, you think I rode this out for 4 months to 24 hours because people said mean things? I'm just going to run away now. No chance. Well, I believe none of what you're hearing when it comes to Shador Sanders.
By the way, just to be clear, Daryl, this makes him Jack at the end of Titanic when he could have just gotten up on the piece of luggage.
Wait until Thursday.
I'll never let go. Then Shador will let go of you when he's like the 36th pick tomorrow.
Wait until Thursday.
Rose is going to drop you into the ocean so you can sink to the bottom.
I did say I was upset with our burger bet that I didn't get 9 as a push. I did say that, Daryl, and I do think that was a little...
He's flip-flopping on the burger bet, Daryl. You heard
no
it.
Flip-flops. Like,
you know what?
You guys
You can say a lot about me, but the one thing I never do is flip-flop on my burger bet.
It's not a flip-flop.
Oh, burger bets. Yeah, of course.
It's not...
not on burger bets.
I pay up.
Yeah.
Yeah, no,
I'm like, tanks, you're kind of all over the place, but like burger bets, you're an honest man.
Yeah. Well, you know, I evolve along with my takes. They evolve.
That's one way to spin it.
Now you're both out of pocket. All right, so Daryl, you're out of pocket at the beginning.
That's
for saying
revenge for the win one for the
he
Gipper.
Can't be a win one for the Gipper. And Nick, as I'm going to be the judge on this one, just a little out of pocket there with Daryl. So I think it's a truce. I think one equals one.
I know. I think that's not how wars work.
Yeah, no, that's just we're tied.
Hey,
we've each landed a salvo.
Yeah.
Oh, I was looking at it like we both took each other's territories, and now we just need to call it a day. But I guess you guys just need to keep firing off the cannons.
Someone's clearly not played Risk before.
Hey, I know. We've got at least 6 more minutes of this, JP.
I'm Switzerland right now. I haven't thrown any cannons.
Daryl.
Yeah.
One of the reports out there is if the Browns do trade down, it's not just for maybe picks, but there could be a player involved.
Yeah.
They could be looking for a player. What kind of player would you need in return if the Browns do decide to trade down?
I'd have to think a quarterback. And I'll be honest with you, Nick. I've been, before I went out to Berea this morning, I've been trying to find a quarterback that is realistic for the Browns to acquire, because that's the only thing that I can think would justify trading down from number 2 for a quote-unquote veteran player. You'd have to get a quarterback and not a rental quarterback, not a bridge quarterback, but you got to get somebody that, you know, you potentially can do something with them on a long-term basis. So and I've not been able to come up with anything that makes sense to me at this point. But yeah, there just seems to be a lot of buzz out there that Andrew Berry is not hanging up on folks when they're calling. Now, it's his job to answer the phone, but I really want them to stay at 2 and just take Travis Hunter and be done with it. But if he does trade out of that selection, I've got to think that a quarterback absolutely has to be involved. And oh, by the way, I've kind of cooled it on the whole Kirk Cousins thing. They better not be trading out of 2 to get Kirk Cousins, let me tell you that.
So you've closed the door on any thought process of it being anyone not named a quarterback. Like if it's I'll just throw someone like a Micah Parsons out there, that does nothing for you.
Yeah. Parsons intrigues me. But the need that they have right now that they got to address and figure out, Denzel Ward talked about it. It's why Myles Garrett asked to be traded before they paid him off to be happy. Like it's this black hole, never ending carousel at quarterback that this franchise is unable to slow up. And until they find a solution there, they're dead where they stand. I mean, that's just the way it is. You got lucky a couple years ago with Flacco coming off the couch. Do I expect he's going to repeat that this year? Absolutely not. I really don't have that expectation. I don't know that it's fair to expect that. So, yeah, if they're bumping out of two, it better be for a solution at quarterback, or what they believe to be a solution at quarterback.
Daryl, Cavs Heat game two tonight. It is on NBA TV, but the game will actually still happen, even if not everyone can watch it.
Get your NBA app and get your credit card there, Nick.
What is game two about for the Cavaliers?
Well, it's about them just taking care of their business. I'm not really concerned about these awards. I mean, it would be nice if the Cavaliers could take home some of the hardware here, but I look at it as a positive. It just adds some fuel to the fire. The fact that they're on NBA TV tonight is the top seed, because they want to have the Boston Celtics on, I think it's TBS or TNT or whatever. I don't think that the Cavaliers are all that crazy about that, and they feel a little slighted. So for me, tonight is just about taking care of your business. Take care of home court. Go to Miami up 2-0, because my expectation is when they spend time in Miami, they come home up 3-1 in this series.
Strong stuff, Daryl. Go in peace.
Win one for the Gipper.
Daryl Ryder there, brought to you by Scheiben Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store.
Thought that was done as perfectly as we could there at the end. You said go in peace. He said win one for the Gipper. You both felt bad about it, and we move on.
Oh, no. That's,
no, you didn't feel any bad about
this,
it.
This is like a Christmas Day truce, that the very next time he's on, the bombing will commence again. That's how this goes.
No, I know. I know. Yeah. I know how your brain works. You get five to every one.
That's true. My buddy Ben Keenan found that out when we were seniors in high school. Remember the tap game?
What's the tap game? Or is that where you
tag each other?
The Mitch Kupchak.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
He did that to me one day, and I waited for several hours. And then when he went to get up to leave, I swung my arm as hard as I could while he was hopping up.
Yeah.
I mean, moonshot. We're talking Apo Taco here.
Yeah.
And he jumped over and then fell down and cried for 10 minutes before then running out of the room and leaving the house.
Yeah.
And without saying a word. And my dad was like, what the hell was that? I was like, it's what you get.
I thought when he got up after the 10 minutes, you were just going to be right there to go Apo Taco again.
No,
that wasn't good enough, man.
You make a man cry and
enough?
Leave a house without talking.
Okay.
Mission accomplished. What kind of player would you need in return for the Browns trading down? Apparently not all about picks. That's coming up in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan. We did get a little bit into the latest rumor on the Cleveland Browns that it's not even about the Browns. It's about the number two pick, and it's about top five picks, and how there does seem to be a team that is gaga with Travis Hunter, and they'd be willing to trade up, maybe even for a Godfather-type offer to move into the second spot. And it's been interesting because multiple reports have now said that it might not just be about draft collateral to move up to two, that it could involve a player, which I feel like that might be more palatable to Browns fans. I think I might be more questioning of if you're trading down out of Travis Hunter and you're just adding another player.
Well, I mean, I think it would be, what type of player are we talking is the idea, right? It has to be a quarterback, and then I brought Micah Parsons in the mix, and all of a sudden Daryl seemed like maybe he was cool with that thought process.
I believe he said Micah Parsons is fine, which would be the greatest understatement of all time.
Yeah, yeah, calling him fine.
Yeah, he's okay. So yeah, well, I guess we'll take him if we have to.
What a weird world that would be, where we would have to wrestle with the idea that basically every projection Abdul Carter, if they paint him in a positive light, has him being something close to Micah Parsons. But
avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Hey everyone, quick shout out to Whole Foods Market. You know I'm all about eating fresh and finding quality ingredients, and that's exactly what Whole Foods delivers. Whether you're grabbing organic produce, high quality meats, or just a quick healthy snack, they've got you covered. Plus, they're all about sustainability and supporting local farmers, which I love. Next time you're grocery shopping, check them out. You'll taste the difference. Spring is the perfect time to refresh your table, and Whole Foods Market has everything you need. Hosting brunch? Picture this. Flaky, buttery quiche, crispy bacon, fresh berries, and of course, cold-pressed orange juice to brighten up your morning. And if you're in the mood for something fizzy, check out their seasonal Italian sodas. Berry Blend and Orange Hibiscus are total must-tries. So whether you're planning a casual get-together or a full-on feast, Whole Foods Market has you covered. Make Whole Foods Market your destination for all spring gatherings.
Since the dawn of Major League Baseball, every player has honed their unique skills.
Judge, drill it deep to left.
Ohtani connects and it's gone.
Skeen strikes out the side.
Bobby Witt Jr. throws in time.
Harper does it again.
Witness the hills of the game in ballparks nationwide. Get your tickets today at MLB.com/tickets. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
The difference here is you obviously have to pay Micah Parsons.
I think, listen, if Micah Parsons was here, I would enjoy that quite a bit.
Yeah.
But if Dallas was willing to go from 12 to 2, and again, maybe there's other picks involved, but just 12 to 2 and we get Micah Parsons, then Jerry Jones is dumber than I think. I don't think he's dumb. So, but like, he would have to be a class 5 moron.
I can't rule it out, Nick.
In fairness... We've never sat down with Jerry and broken bread. We're willing to. We can be bought. We'd like you to buy us.
Yeah, I can't rule it out. I mean, after Nico Harrison especially, I can't rule any of these things.
Well, just they both work in Dallas. But
That doesn't make him as dumb as Nico Harrison?
No, you're not. So when they traded Luka, Jerry didn't get 3 points dumber too.
Okay.
It was just the Mavs organization that Plaxico burst itself.
I mean, it would be interesting if, because I don't know, would it be 12 to 2? Is that the main crux of that?
I think that's what people have kind of pointed out.
I love, by the way, in some of these hypotheticals that we've like the, I don't know, the cherry on top of the sundae is like, no, we'll also throw back Greg Newsom.
Yeah.
Greg Newsom will be the player they get back in return here as well. Get a guy too, right?
The only thing we're going to do this deal for is if you put Greg Newsom in it.
Everyone's so eager just to throw Greg Newsom in all of these deals.
Even in deals
that don't involve
other players.
No, it's like unnecessary.
It's like, you're going to give us 3 future firsts and you know, 5 more picks for the number 2 pick, and we're going to move down 8 spots. And I... To be fair, we want Dubart right by you. We're going to send you Greg Newsom as well.
You'd have a harder time getting like formats when you buy a car. Then, you know what I mean? Like, it's incredible. The throw in is just, it's unreal with Greg Newsom. So like, is there any other players though? Like, I instantly thought Brock Purdy, and I think that would be very upsetting to a lot of Browns fans.
Yeah, well, okay. At least there we are talking about quarterback. Now,
well, I'm trying to get back into the quarterback conversation.
Now, you know, I think Brock is it's
you've been,
not,
like, if there's one hater left on planet Earth, it's you when it comes to Brock Purdy.
Yeah, because, again, much like you with your, not going to go there, might tweet that one. That's a really good way of describing, of wait, your...
Wait, you won't say it to me now, but you're going to tweet it later?
No, what I mean is I won't say it on air, but I...
does it violate some FCC guidelines?
It brushes up against them and probably would piss you off if I said it on air. I would mean it in a joking tone.
Oh, because it'll make me real happy when I read it later online then, okay?
Well, no, I'd tell you first.
Okay.
And then say, I'm going to tweet this later because it's funny.
Yeah,
it's bad. Isn't that better?
You know me. If it makes me laugh, what do I care?
But your Shalove, is not going to be broken by. I didn't say it was good. The other one was much better. This one was a safer play.
Now you're going to have to tweet it out later because I don't know that there is another one now.
But no, I mean, it, like you, your intrigue, your desires, your lust, for Shedeur Sanders in Cleveland hasn't been dimmed by every report saying, oh, yeah, it's the worst in-person interview we've ever had. He might not even, he might fall past 21, all this kind of recent stuff. I feel the same way about Brock Purdy. I've never been closer to being vindicated that that guy is about as mid can be for NFL quarterbacks.
Well, the 49ers are all but vindicating that for you, right? Like the idea that they are not, they don't want to spend a number that starts with five on what a person that many across the NFL believe don't deserve that number.
And the reason why this would be the worst case scenario, and I don't think it's going to happen, although Brock Purdy in the 11th pick for the number two pick, all right, I can kind of see where you'd be going, but the reason why it cannot happen is you cannot go from Baker, we won't pay him $50 million a year, to we're then going to force the trade for Deshaun. Right. That clearly didn't work out. To now we're going to pay a much lesser quarterback physically than Baker more money than we would have paid Baker if we had just paid him 3 years ago. I don't think I can let you away with the optics of that. Yeah. I don't think I can.
It just doesn't make sense. Now, I know the Patriots have thrown a different wide receivers into the mix as well and other players like that. Should we be thinking way less in regards to the type of players that the compensation would be in return for number two overall and then obviously picks attached to that?
Is this like when Mangini traded the fifth pick, which he took a quarterback, old butt fumble, Mark Sanchez, to I think it was the Jets. No, it was the Jets. But for I think it was like the 17th pick and maybe a second rounder, and then it was like Brett Ratliff, Abraham Elam, and Kenyon Coleman. Because I will personally walk to Berea and fire Andrew Berry myself. I don't have these powers. I will take these powers upon me like it is some sort of presidential power that presidents are always usurping. I would take that kind of power on me. If it was like, all right, we're going to get the kid from LSU that stunk at wide receiver. We're going to give you this backup left tackle. And and by the way, we got a long snapper.
That's what they want. The LSU kid, Kayshon.
But I would be very disappointed. I'm not even in on the player thing. I think it would be dumb. Like, granted, I'd like you to have more nice players, but why would you be trying to add any players on this roster beyond young draft picks, like guys who have not worked out elsewhere, or are good players, maybe not great, for a roster that is a bridge to nowhere? Like, the only way this makes sense...
I mean, it does stamp down the idea if they were trying to get the best possible selection for next year and they're not really loading up on the team for this year in any sort of way.
Well, but like Eric said, left tackle for the trade down. Okay. I mean, cool, but why... Okay, left tackle probably going to cost you a little bit of money. Like, is that worth one of the picks going from like a second round pick to a fourth round pick? It's not for me.
Yeah, I was thinking big game hunting. Yeah. When attaching the players. You want to throw Micah Parsons? Let's have a conversation.
Okay, so, but even then, it's like, all right, you're going to pay Micah Parsons. And because then what you're going to do is you're going to start making your team that is too good to be where it needs to be next year, right?
Well, it's an interesting conversation. I'll give you the most dominant defensive line in the sport, and they might have that with Abdul Carter and Myles Garrett, but even Myles Garrett and Micah Parsons, that's not even shut
pretty
it down.
Okay.
Yeah, shut it
fine
down.
Fine in the words of Darrell Ryder.
Yeah, thank you. That's the right way to put it. It would be unprecedented the amount of pressure you could get on a quarterback, but does that result in 8, 9, 10 wins?
I mean,
you still need a quarterback.
Okay, but it might result in 7 wins. Right. Which really is the sweet hell that next year could be if you're a 7-win team.
And that's part of our conversation around whether or not you take a quarterback at 33
like,
or not, too.
Every Pittsburgh fan, it's 10-7 and we don't have a quarterback. And yeah, okay, I get why that from a multi-season team building thing is a bad place to be. It's not as bad as if you're 7-10 and still just as far away from getting that quarterback.
But you see how trying to build this in an opposite way when you don't have a quarterback can become a little bit tricky at times, too.
Well, okay, so let's say... I don't know that they're going to do this, and I can't remember the cap ramifications, so I don't think they can do this. But if Jacksonville said, we'll give you 5 for 2 so we can draft Shedeur and you get Trevor Lawrence.
Well, I'd do that in a second.
Okay. But by the way, I probably would as well. And that's as somebody who wants a future first next year. So, like, I'm team. I want to go get my quarterback next year. At least with Trevor Lawrence, I still think that guy, that guy's been a product of a in a way, he would be your answer to Tampa Bay's Baker Mayfield, but still more physically talented.
Yeah, we're definitely playing in the extreme blow me away, I'd be surprised if any of these things actually did happen category.
216-474-0092. What kind of player would you need in return for trading down out of the number two spot? Because, I mean, at least in the Micah Parsons thing, at least you're getting a Pro Bowl future Hall of Famer.
Yeah.
But, again, this is why trading down for picks is so unpopular, and I understand. But I gotta tell you the truth. If you take a quarterback at 33, you are no closer to addressing your true need, which is as a starting quarterback. That guy might turn into somebody, but it's not guaranteed. And so...
Yeah.
And unless you're taking quarterback at two, the smartest thing you can do is get future picks so that if this thing goes where it could, if it doesn't go to the best of what maybe they want it to be this year, you're in the right position to go ahead and take a Drew Aller, a Sellers, a Cade Klubnik, any of those kids next year.
You know, one part of this we've both been lockstep on is the idea that we just don't want to see them take a quarterback in the second round or even trade into the first round and take a quarterback. I thought Albert had a great nugget from his column today. Jalen Hurts, only second-round quarterback over the past 10 drafts to get a second contract with his first team. It's been 10 drafts. Now, there's only been 24 quarterbacks taken in the second round in the previous 25 years. We're averaging just one per year. And so you'd think to yourself, like, you've less opportunities. This year, it feels like there's going to be 3, 4, 5 potentially taken in the second round. So you're going to have more chances to hit, obviously. But Jalen Hurts is the only one in the previous decade to get a second contract.
I just continue to go back to the idea, if there's not a quarterback worthy of taking it to, and because the Browns have said, we're not going to force it. I think if you're taking a quarterback at 33 and then saying, well, we found one of the guys we think is going to be the future, I think you are forcing it. I think that is half-assing it instead of whole-assing.
Well, and it's also saying we couldn't do it with, let's say we couldn't do it with Shador, but all of a sudden we feel like we could do it with Shuck, or we feel like we could do it with one of those guys. It's like, well, if you can't do it with Shador, why do you feel like you could do it with Shuck?
Even if you do it, like, let's say Shador magically falls to you at 33. By the fact that you have a second-round grade on him, or the fact that that's where you think it's
the
right time.
But you let him get to 33 to begin with anyway.
Yeah, like, you're already kind of telling, okay, well, we think he's going to be a salvageable quarterback, but we don't think... At which point, the exercise here... Like, it really just comes back to the idea of... The Browns told you 3 years ago, franchise quarterbacks are the currency of note in the NFL, to then get back to, well, he'll do. Okay... Where does that get you in the NFL? He'll do? Like, doesn't that fly in the face? And I know.
Well, that's what 33 is, by the way. That is a he'll do.
And
that's Deshaun Kizer.
It was just, to me, like, I think people would view trading down out of two, getting a future first, maybe getting another day two pick this year. I think people might view that, and passing up on Travis Hunter to do it, and Genty, and Abdul Carter. I think people might view that as taking a step back. No, the step back is settling for less than you need to, which is, in this division, in this conference, anything other than a franchise quarterback is going to have you behind the eight ball. Like, if you want a he'll-do starter, you can get those every year. You just did with Joe Flacco. You could have done if Kirk Cousins and the Falcons had been able to talk like adults and made it work out. You can do that. Look what the Steelers have done. The Steelers have done that every damn year.
Even with Travis Hunter, there's nothing special about this Browns team.
Yeah.
You know, that's the sad part. Like, if you want to talk about something that's special and unique, we talked about Micah Parsons and Myles Garrett. One thing I did like about the Myles Garrett Abdul Carter discussion, if we had to go back to the Moneyball things, in a division that is dominated by great quarterbacks, having that awesome defensive line that nobody else has, that is something where you are zigging where everyone else is zagging.
If the Browns are open to accepting players alongside draft collateral to move down to the number two spot, what kind of player would you need in return for trading down? And pressure and game two for the Cavaliers in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan. We had a conversation about excitement for this game tonight and whether... Game one dampens that excitement, whether everybody's expectations with one game have just changed. And I think it's fair to say that a fair amount of people have, the second you curb stomped them in game one, thought, well, I guess the series is over. We're on to whatever Indiana, Milwaukee winner is.
Yeah.
You know the thing I couldn't figure out, and I thought about this a lot earlier today. How much pressure is on the Cavs tonight? Because the pressure is clearly on the Heat because of the way they played. But the Cavs still have to have some pressure on them, right?
I don't even know the pressure's on the Heat, if we're being honest. I think the Heat are kind of playing on a free roll. Because they're not expected to do anything. And the talent disparity is so clearly in the Cavs' favor. I almost look at the Heat as if they can just kind of... they just got to hoist up threes and whatever happens, happens. With the Cavs, though... how can I say there is pressure when I just feel like they're going to win and I'm not really concerned about it?
So I think the pressure is of being the one seed and the pressure to maintain home court advantage. I think that might be something they could feel. I think in reality, maybe it's similar to like game one where they came out and they were clearly vibing. And then they had technical difficulties alongside the TNT broadcast, which had technical difficulties. And then
Dennis Scott went, boom goes the dynamite.
Now, immediately, it's too soon. He did a fine job, okay? He's not a play-by-play guy, all right? Let's be a little kinder to D. Scott.
No, he gave me a good solid 5 minutes away from Sparrow.
What does Candace Parker say? Did she call him D. Swizzle or whatever?
No, did she really?
I'm pretty sure. She had some nickname.
Called him D. Swizzle?
Something like that, and I thought to myself...
that sounds like a group chat nickname that shouldn't have made a national broadcast.
It sounds like something you would sarcastically call a friend, but never do it in public because you love and respect them too much.
Yeah, but Candace Parker just has good flow to herself, so she probably could, and people are like, oh yeah, Candace Parker called me D-Swizzle.
All right, if Dennis Scott didn't play in the NBA and he was like a soccer dad, that's what it feels like he would call himself. But, I do think in this game specifically, there's a chance for pressure to ebb and flow as the game goes on. And I just don't think it's going to go a lot towards Miami. I really think there's only one team that can put pressure on the other team, given where they are.
Here's where I'll say there could have pressure seep into this game. If Miami does take a substantial lead, then maybe the Cavs start to feel a little bit, start to sweat a little bit, and then start to feel like, all right, we got to kick it in overdrive. And there maybe, I would say, some pressure seeps in.
So it's interesting. Like I'm
so unfazed by this game. Does it bother you how unfazed I am right now?
That doesn't bother me. I understand it. I just think
it kind of bothers me a little bit.
I think we're putting a lot of stock into one game.
I think so too, and I usually don't. You know that about me. They did so many things right in game one that I just have a hard time doubting them right now. And it was everything I needed to see, from Darius down to Donovan, down to every way that they played that game. And the fact that it felt like the refs were giving every call to Miami, and Miami still didn't have an answer to try to get over the top. I got a lot of confidence right now.
I think Spo might be laying in wait. And that feels very heavy. I still don't trust the fact that dude decided to trade threes for twos in game one.
It was a dumb decision. Everyone watching knew it was a dumb decision.
But see, that's the thing. Spo doesn't do dumb decisions.
But what do you have, though? Again, if you're playing with a bad hand...
You let the Cavs continue to shoot as many floaters and get to the rim as much as they want because it keeps them away from shooting threes.
But the Cavs are smarter than that, though. That's the weird part of this, though. I don't think they would just settle for that the same way that Miami did. Miami settled for it because Bam Adebayo legitimately thinks the mid-range shot is a good shot.
I just am trying to walk some line of let's keep these good vibes because every single one of these games has been so much fun. And also, like, guys, it was one game. And I don't think the Cavs are taking this approach. I do think there's a lot of people just like, all right, I guess we're on to the second round of the playoffs. Guys, they haven't earned it. And that's not a negative. They haven't had chances to earn it. They've had two chances previously with mixed results. And this whole thing, including the rest of this series, the potential series against the Pacers where it looks like they're going to storm away. I mean, Doc Rivers yesterday is talking about, I'm very content with where we are, down 0-2. Even into the Boston series. Like, we've waited the Boston series as that's when they prove it. No, they prove it every step. Tonight's just the next step to prove what I think we all believe is true, but we shouldn't believe it fully. Okay, well, no, there's a difference between believing it and then actually seeing it happen. And we shouldn't give them credit for things that haven't happened yet. They haven't played Miami in game two, and we haven't seen them blow out in game two. If that happens tonight, yeah, I'll probably attack game three with a little bit different thought.
Oh, if it happens, I mean, if they get blown out tonight, then we're going to go right back to the drawing board. It just if you gave me like a wheel of possibility and told me to figure out...
Oh, no, I meant if the Cavs blow out the Heat tonight.
Oh, if the Cavs blow out the Heat. Well, then we're right back to where I currently believe we're going to see tonight.
So even then, by the way, then we'll be saying, okay, can you do this in Miami? with a comatose crowd because nobody cares.
I think we're just going to focus in on little things at that point, right? Like, we're almost going to beg for Miami to be physical with the Cavs so we can start to see what happens when they start to get punched around a little bit. And we're going to start looking for, I think we're just going to focus in on the little things. I really do.
216-474-0092. I do expect, and I want to be clear, I do expect the vibes at the queue tonight to be awesome. So I just think in terms of...
Wear their t-shirts.
I just think in terms for the buzz of this game, and just kind of talking with people and getting, like, I think people are more in line with you, where you are, like, okay, let's just get to the game. Let's get this thing over.
I wish I wasn't
this way.
Let's
have it over by the halftime. And I'm like, guys, let's...
Playoff games.
Don't crown them yet.
We waited so long to get to playoff games, and I want to treat every playoff game and not be jaded by playoff games the way we were with LeBron in many ways. I like the journey a lot of times more than even sometimes the destination, but I do. I feel that way tonight. I wish I had it in me to be on the edge of my couch, like just sitting there and being like, they need to do this and they need to do that. They just showed me a lot in game one.
In a roundabout way, this is about giving the Cavs their proper credit, because if we're already dismissive about the rest of this series, And then, you know, let's say they go up against Indiana, and everybody's expecting this could be a troubling matchup for them, but let's say they just dust through them as well. And one game in, oh, well, you blew them up by 20 points. What the hell are we doing here? Let's get to Boston. It's going to put all the pressure on Boston as the only validation for this season, as if the first two rounds of the playoffs weren't also part of the validation. I think where I struggle. It's not that I don't want to crown the Cavs.
But it does feel that way, though, Nick.
It
does feel like the only validation they have is if they play competitive against Boston or get past Boston. I think a lot of people have already signed them in Sharpie into an Eastern Conference Finals matchup against the Celtics.
The ultimate validation is absolutely playing tight with Boston and or going past Boston in the playoffs. I'm not saying that it isn't. It's not the only way to validate what they've done, because Boston happens to be the overwhelming favorite. I mean, Chris Broussard's out here saying, I don't think it's really going to be that close. That we're just going to go ahead and sim. It's Boston's
Broussard today
team.
Said it's relatively easy. The Celtics will make the NBA Finals for them.
And so, like, that's the way people think. Now, the Cavs have to upset the apple cart, but part of that upsetting the apple cart is taking care of business against Miami starting again tonight and then doing so in the second round of the playoffs. I think this... I just don't like this all or nothing, because again, that I think that ties back into just how reductive ring culture is and how we think of the playoffs. Guys, first round of the playoffs matters.
I think we'll get it reset. I mean, I think we will. With each round, I think we'll get it reset. And two, I think a lot of people's credit that do think the way that I think tonight, I think we entered this series with a real open mind that we had to see a lot of things. We just saw the Cavs team we've seen for the entire year in that game one.
216-474-0092. At Nick Wilson says, at Jay Peterlin. So we are talking about tonight with the Miami Heat here, and whether or not you're giving the Heat any chance to show up, or whether you've just kind of, whether you're just enjoying the good vibes and all the questions you've had about the Cavaliers have been answered. The Lead coming up in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan.